But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And look at what she said. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you might help us tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts, encourage us from your word. Lord, I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of your people that have been here each night. And Lord, I pray that every person that's here will get something from your word this evening, something that'll help us, that'll encourage us, Lord, that we stand in need of. Lord, we remain in prayer for the church this upcoming missions year, what the mind of Christ would be, what you would have each family to do, each person to give, and what the plan would be moving forward for the church body. God, we pray for wisdom and discernment for the pastor and the leadership team and all the families that make up this local church body. We pray for them now. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for the nation of Israel, this was a big day. And if we look at this through the eyes of the Israelites, man, this is conquest. They're going to take down a heavily walled city. It's marvelous to think about what's going to happen, and everyone's excited about it. And they're scared, they're nervous, and it's there it is, it looms large on the horizon in Jericho. But now, if we look at this through the eyes, not of the Israelites, but through the eyes of Rahab the harlot, now it's a different matter. Tonight, I want to look at it through Rahab's eyes. Now imagine, here you are, you're a harlot, you live in a city, you've heard that there's this God, that you don't know Him, but you've heard about Him. You've heard what He did, and you've also heard that His people are coming your way. And you know that your city is going to be destroyed, and that that God is more powerful than the gods that your people serve, and that everyone in your city is going to be destroyed. Now, what would you do? And I want to look tonight at what Rahab did before the walls fell. What she did before the walls fell. Number one, Rahab opened her house. She opened her house. It's interesting that in this house, not only did she shelter the enemy, in this house she also saved her family in the very same place. I think used to be, we were talking this morning here, Brother Dirk, I believe, read an article about cottage prayer meetings back in the day. You know, it used to be that we opened up our homes. It used to be that we got together and we had people over. I remember when I was a kid, we had people at our house all the time. Family came over on Sundays and people were over during the week. And in early church, when I was a church member in a little church in Germany, we were always together as a church body and prayer. But nowadays, Well, we've kind of lost track of that, of opening up our homes and bringing people in and inviting lost people into our homes to that we might fellowship and witness to them. But here Rahab, she opens up her house and she lets these folks in. The two spies were sent out. It's interesting. You remember years ago, the 12 spies would be sent. And they would go, and 12 spies would be sent, and man, they would come back and say, hey, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. And they brought some proof back of that land. But of the spies, only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, thought that they could overtake the land. And the other 10 said, man, I don't think that God is up to this challenge. And so now only two spies are sent out. But it's interesting. I've often wondered why the two spies were sent. Did they formulate something that would help in the battle plan? Did they expose some weakness that that could be used so that they could attack the city? You remember what they ultimately did. This is what they did. They came and they marched around the city one time a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they marched around. You guys remember? Seven times. Now, I don't know about you, but as far as I can tell, I don't think you need to come and look for any weaknesses in the place if that's going to be the battle plan. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I'll tell you what I think happened. Here's what I think happened as to why those two spies were sent and why God would move for two spies to be sent. And here's why I believe. Because there was a lady there named Rahab, and she had heard some things, and she wanted the truth. And she was crying out, and she believed what she heard, and the Scripture will bear this out. And I really believe that those two spies were sent there just for Rahab. Now imagine all the homes that they could have landed in. And it just so happened. Oftentimes the Bible says it like her hap was, speaking of Esther, like it was just circumstance or happenstance. But no, it was the providential hand of God that led these men to this particular house. I've often wondered this. Now imagine if it were us today. And two of us were sent out of this church to Jericho. And we went there and we actually lodged in a harlot's house. And we came back and the preacher said, now where did you guys stay when you went to Jericho? I mean, there's a lot of humor in this story of things that just, I'm like, wow, this is mind-blowing. But it's interesting, the things that God uses to do His work and to do His bidding. So these men come, and they travel, and the king gets word that they're there. And the king sends messengers to Rahab and says, bring the men that are come. And she takes the men and she hides them. She puts them up on the roof of her house. She lived on the town wall, as we know. And she hid them under stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the top of the roof of the house. She tells the men, you know, they were here. I'm not sure where they're at right now. They were here, but if you hurry up and go after them, you'll be able to catch them. Now, here's what she did in doing that. She saved the lives of those two men. If she tells the people that show up that she has the men, you know what happens to Rahab or to those two men? They're dead. But if she doesn't hide the men and she exposes and tells where they're at, what happens to her? Well, I can tell you what happens to her. We're not reading about her tonight. We're not reading about her right now. See, she had a very tough choice to make, but that choice that she made was evidence of something. It was evidence of her faith and the fact that she believed. So she opens her house, she opens her mind, we see it here, she says it in verse number 9, and she said unto the men, look at what she says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She said, I know. Now how did she know it? How did she know it? It's interesting, 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I mean, she was certain that what she had heard was going to happen. But how did she know it? Well, she tells us how she knew it. This is what she said. She says, for we have heard. We have heard. What did she hear? Does anybody know what she heard? She tells us what she heard. She says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you." Now let me ask you a question. How long ago had that event taken place? At least, how many years? At least 40. Now, how old do you suppose Rahab is, given her profession and occupation? I'm not trying to be vulgar, I'm just trying to look at the text as it presents itself. We don't have any idea how old she was. It could be that she's a 40-year-old woman. Maybe she's 50. Maybe she's 30. I have no idea. But I know this. Probably, if at best, she was a young child when this event took place. Perhaps she wasn't even alive when it took place, but maybe she was 5 or maybe she was 10, So here's an event that took place at least 40 years ago. Now, who told her? She just heard it. Somebody told somebody, and somebody told somebody else, and somebody told somebody else, and then somehow it gets to the people in the city, and it circulates that there's this God. He did what? Yeah, he dried up the Red Sea. I mean, and they walked over on dry ground, and he destroyed the Egyptians that pursued after them. Now, wait a minute. There were people that walked through that sand, that walked through that dry ground, and those 12 spies that were sent out, the 10 of those guys walked through on the dry ground and come back and said, "God is not able," and they saw it with their own eyes, and she never saw anything. She just heard something, but she had more faith and what she heard of something she had never seen than the guys that actually witnessed it. Is that not amazing? So then faith cometh by hearing. So people saw the miracles that Christ worked, and what did they say? By the power of Beelzebub, doing what you do. They saw it. But God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching. And God has told us to go get a message. Remember when they asked they said, if you bring back this person from the dead, then they'll believe. They said, no, though they have Moses and the prophets. Let them, what does it say? Hear them. They won't believe even though one would come back from the dead, but it's interesting. One did come back from the dead, and his name was Lazarus. But guess what? They didn't believe. They wanted to kill him. So what did she hear? She heard this work of God that happened 40 years ago. Faith cometh by hearing. She opened her mind. She said this, "I know." She opened her eyes because she knew that God hath given the land. She foresaw the conquest of her country, and in the belief of that, she bespoke in time the favor of the conquerors. She knew what was going to happen, and she knew that her city was going to be destroyed. She opened her ears. She says, "We have heard. We have heard." Acts 15:7 says, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. And when they heard of the resurrection," Acts 17:32, "and of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter." But the next verse says, "But some believed." And that's what we do. We share the message, and some people think, "You're crazy, man." And some people don't want anything to do with it. And some people are neutral on it. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But some people every now and then say yes to the message that they hear. But we're told to give it. Acts 28:27, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Be it known, Acts 28:28, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. She said, "We've heard it. We've heard it." How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You know what? They can't. They won't. She opened her heart. Hebrews 11:31, here's what it says. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Sometimes we think she was saved because she kept the spies, and no doubt that was an important thing. But according to Hebrews 11, what she believed, and no one else did, they heard the same thing. It was circulated around. But this little girl, this young lady now, who I'll remind you is a harlot, she believed it. She believed it. She says, verse number 12, she says, Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And look at her request, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. You know what she's concerned about? Her city's going to be destroyed. The walls are fixing to fall, and she knows that destruction is at the door, and here's what she's concerned about. Her family. Her family. So she asked for something, and the men said, "Our life for yours. You've dealt kindly with us. We're going to deal kindly with you." And the Bible tells us in verse 15 that she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she tells them what to do in verse 16. And verse 17, they say this, "The men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath that thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of this house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood will be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." So she lets them down through a line of scarlet cord, and you've heard many messages on this, so I don't have to take the time to preach this message right now, but it is one that's worth preaching, I'll tell you that. And that crimson cord that they let them down by, and they said, so they're down on the ground, it would seem, and they're saying, now, listen, this is what has to happen. We're going to come back in here, we're going to destroy this city, and everybody that you get inside the house, and you got to, when you see us come into the land, you hang this line of crimson cord in the window. And we're going to see that, and we're going to know that that's you. And everybody that's inside that house, if anything happens to them, blood's going to be on our hands. But if they're not inside that house, their blood's going to be on your hands. And they had given her a request. They told her, look again with me in verse 18. "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window." So they're told. She's told when to do it. Now they're leaving. In verse 21, "And she said, According unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed." And look at what it says. "And she bound the scarlet line in the window." I love that part right there. Now, we could preach a while on that, but we don't have time to do it because we'll never finish the message tonight. They told her, when we come back into the land, put the scarlet line in the window. But she's like, I'm not taking a chance on that, man. Why? Because today is the day of salvation. And maybe they would come in the middle of the night. She didn't know how it was going to play out. And so she went ahead and put the scarlet line in the window. Folks may come by and say, why is that there? Oh, the spies were there. Oh, you let him down? I mean, she exposes herself perhaps, but she's not worried about that because she knows that she's safe behind the crimson cord. And man, how many times have we just stood firm and fast, and when we didn't know how it was going to work, we knew we were safe. Why? Because we had thrown out that crimson cord years ago when we called upon Christ to save us. But now, she's got a difficult job. Could you imagine if you were a harlot and two spies showed up at your house and you know that they're going to destroy your city and you believe it, but no one else does, and now you have the job of trying to convince your family that the city's going to be destroyed, that the walls are going to fall, that you have to come into my house to be saved. And if you're not in my house when they come, you're going to be killed. But if you're in my house when they come, you're going to be saved. Could you imagine trying to get that message to your family? What would she have that would warrant her, that would give her some credibility that she could encourage them to do it? Think about Lot. When God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, remember Lot? And he tried to convince his family that destruction was coming. And what does the Bible say that they did? They mocked him. Why? Because he had no credibility. He had lost it. But here's a lady, Rahab, the harlot. And she has the job of getting her family. How did she do it? I'll tell you what she didn't do, I would imagine. Oh, okay, well, that's all right if you don't want to come in. Okay, everybody gets to do what they want to do. Yep, okay. If you don't want to trust the Lord, I've told you, I've done my deal. I don't think she did it that way. I was telling someone the other night, I had a grandfather that I visited for a number of years. I witnessed to him over and over and over and over, and he said no, and he said no, and he said no, and he said no, and I said, you just don't have to keep saying no, Granddad, because I want to keep talking. And I would go visit him, and every time I'd say, are you ready to hear about the Lord today? He'd say, nope. Are you ready to hear about the Lord today? He'd say, nope. Are you ready to hear about the Lord today? Say, nope. He was in his 80s. He was just a few months away from dying. He was in a nursing home. He couldn't take care of himself. And I would go in there and he would be like, nope. Sometimes even before, the first thing he would say would be like, nope. And then we'd talk about whatever else he wanted to talk about. But I went in there one day. And I say, Granddad, are you ready to talk about the Lord today? And tears rolled down his face, and he said, I believe I am. Don't give up on your family. Whatever it takes. I know you can't make them be saved. But do the hard job and talk to them. Ask them. Rahab, she goes after her family. It's interesting. She binds the scarlet line in the window. Now, Joshua chapter number 6. It's interesting. She asked, I do want to just point, let me see here. She asked for her family to be saved. She says, not only my family, my mother, my father, and all that they have. So that's important. Now, we come now to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse number 17. Chapter 6, verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. Ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. It's interesting now. Israel is forbidden to take any of the spoils. Not one thing. See, God is teaching them something. Every other conquered city after this, they will be able to take the spoils. But this is the first one. And this is the law of the first fruits. God's saying, look, I get the first. And then, after you've given me what's due me, the first, then you can have the spoils. And so this first thing, God said, no, this is consecrated. If you take anything here, it's mine. You can't have anything. It's interesting. They must have. When Rahab asked to take all of the stuff and all of her family, the guys didn't know that that was going to be the plan. And so they must have promised her that, yes, anybody that's here and all of your stuff, you guys, you can have it, and their lives are going to be saved. So he tells them not to take anything. So the people, verse 20, the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. Let's look in verse number 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old. Verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. How good of a job did Rahab do? She got every last one of them. You know why? Because she really believed it. She really believed that her city was going to be destroyed. She really believed that everybody there was going to die. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. She had no merit to warrant an audience. But no doubt she cried and she wept and she begged and she pleaded, just like you've done with some of your family members. And maybe up to this point to no avail. But what do? You keep crying, weeping, and praying, and trying to give them this message. And it's interesting. Three times, I want you to look what it says here. It says, he says, Rahab and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. We see that in verse 22. Verse 25, so Joshua saved Rahab the heart of the life and her father's household, look at this, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even to this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You know, Rahab got it all. She got it all. And how did she get it all? Because she believed. What did she do? She believed something that she heard. She believed it enough to share it with the people in her family. And God thought so much of it that of all the things we have in this Bible, of all the things that God's done, of all the things that people have done, of all the things that Christians have done through the years, this is all we have of it. And she gets a whole chapter? But now, imagine though, we're still Rahab. We're still looking at it through her eyes. Her family's been saved. They've got their stuff, but their city's destroyed. And life as she knows it is over. And now she's going to be integrated into a society, the Jewish people, who are, we know, pretty tough. Point the fingers, judgmental. I mean, how are they going to accept a harlot? What happens? What happens? Man, this book is so good. And Salmon begat Boaz, Matthew 1:5, of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. See, she married a guy, and he was a big boy in Israel. His name was Solomon. And they had a son, and the son's name was Boaz. Now, do you remember the story of Ruth? You remember when Ruth and Boaz had a soft heart for a little girl named Ruth? You ever wondered why he had such a soft heart for a little girl named Ruth? Maybe it's because his mother was a harlot from Jericho. David come from that lineage. Christ come from that lineage? I'm telling you, she got it all. She got it all. And what did she do? She believed it enough. She believed it enough. And sometimes I wonder if we believe it enough. We say we think the Lord's going to come back, but we live like He's not going to come back today or tomorrow or this week. I live that way. I'm not pointing a finger at you. But do we really believe it? We've had a number of our family members die. My wife's mom and dad are gone. One of her sisters is gone. When we got married, none of them knew the Lord. And we went after them. Her dad got saved, her mom got saved, her sister got saved, her family got saved. My grandfather got saved. I had another grandfather. He just died about 6 months ago. I grew up on the farm working for him when I was a kid growing up in West Virginia. I'd go work for him 6 days a week in the summer. Come home Sunday just to go to church. Never wanted anything to do with God. In fact, when I was a young kid, he'd poke fun at Christians and make fun of preachers, and he'd give me a hard time because I went to church. And just picking at me, not really giving me a hard time, but, you know, letting me know what he thought about it. When I really got saved and got older, I'd go back and try to talk to him about the Lord, and he didn't want to hear anything about it. He never wanted to hear anything about it. He'd tell me, I don't believe it. I don't want to hear it. Number of times through the years, I went to him. He was dying. I knew he was dying. I tried to talk to him. So I'm thinking, this is going to be the first family member. I'm going to lose the first person in my family, and probably going to ask me to preach the funeral, and I'm not going to know. But thank God, somebody else went. Another preacher from the area named Mike. The church that I grew up in that I shared with you, he's the pastor of that church now. He went to visit my grandfather in the hospital. He went to visit him twice. The first time, didn't want to hear anything about it. He goes the second time, talks to my grandfather about his sin. And my grandfather says, you know what, I'm just too bad. God can't save me. I couldn't even pray of all the things I've done. Now, he had never admitted anything like that to me. And he came to visit him at the house, and he didn't know how to pray. And he went from no way to 3 months before he died, asking the Lord to save him. So still to this point, I've never lost a family member that hasn't trusted the Lord. Now, that may not always be the case, but I'm going to do my best. And by the grace of God, I think all of us should want that. Rahab got it all. If you get Christ, if you have Christ, you have it all. Let's pray. Father, thank you as we stand together and the pastor comes. Thank you for your word. May it find lodging in our hearts. And we're so thankful for the testimony of Rahab and what she did. Lord, help us to learn from her example. Help us to take away what the important things in life are and to emulate that in our lives. Lord, we pray for everyone that's here tonight. We're so thankful for them. Pray you bless them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.